Hey, what's going on, people? Another episode of DMC on this Wednesday. And this week, we're talking about your fantasies and the return of the Primal Man and the boy, Sean Combs, a.k.a. P. Diddy, a.k.a. Puff Daddy, a.k.a. Let's get the show started.
U.S. Open.
Bring it back, bring it back.
It's anger. It's sports. Here we go. First up, let's start.
Hey, I don't know what that sound is in the background, though.
Someone's trying to fight with Mary J. Blige.
But you can't do that because Mary J. is the queen.
I'm so bummed to hear she's getting divorced, too.
Yeah. Hey, did you hear the whole story about how the husband is, like, suing her for child support? And it's, like, not even her kids.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
See, you know what's sad about that? Because I remember when she got married and she found him, and she strikes me as a very soulful, smart woman. So she's not going to go, like, do something crazy and get married to any old fool on the street.
Right.
And this guy, I think his name is Ken Do, she talked about how they shared a spirituality. They're both Christians, and how much her husband loved the Lord and how inspiring that was to her and what the bond that created between them. So
and
I was so
sad. Yeah, and she definitely gives off that spiritual type vibe.
Right.
I watched her in a few interviews speaking on the divorce and everything.
Oh, she's spoken about
and
it?
And she's definitely hurt, but she understands it. Really? She said she's gone through the worst, the downs, but now it's time for her to come back and evolve, which is she actually just did drop her album last month. And
cool.
I heard it's doing pretty good. So,
I want to check it out. Yeah, she's one of those ladies. She was very talented, and
she
never based it on her skin. You get what I'm saying? It never was about her being a sex symbol. Mm-hmm. So she'll be singing like Aretha Franklin for the rest, as long as she wants to.
Yeah.
She has a career.
And she's down to earth.
Yeah.
Humble.
Exactly.
Treats everybody the same.
Right.
Like, even though she's this big, bright superstar, she doesn't act like it, you know?
Right.
Which is dope. But
yeah.
What's going on, guys? Yes, DMC, you're tuned into the right place. I am your host, Jimmy V, along with the queen herself.
Oh, how you doing, everyone? This is Constance Dunn. So glad you're joining us. You're probably wondering, where the hell is Chaos?
Mr. 31 Swaggers of Flavor.
Yes, every once in a while, even 31 Flavors of Waviness has got to recharge. And
that's
laid
right.
Out. Yeah.
He is out there putting in work, but we do know he is holding it down for us out there. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
This week's episode, though, is definitely interested. I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Just because this idea of, you always say, fantasia, right? That's your thing. Right there. But this whole idea of what a fantasy is and what it means. So, you are the research person of this panel, and I'm the one to keep you guys entertained. But let's get the definition breakdown of what exactly is fantasy versus reality.
Right. And fantasy is just a fascinating area of study. And there's a lot of work, research that's been done on it. Essentially, I always like to think of fantasy as the theater of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter where you are, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're in a relationship, whether you have money, not money. We all fantasize. We all have fantasies.
I'm guilty. I'm not going to lie. I'm guilty.
And this is specifically, this conversation is about romantic and sexual fantasies. And there's different types of fantasies. I think people get freaked out when they think of something far out and they're like, whoa, that's not really me.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that you might want to classify as what is called a pure fantasy. It's something that's really out there that you would never want to happen in a million years. I know that one that comes up very quickly when you start talking about fantasies is that women would be more likely than men to have a pure fantasy of submission. That's something that they find in research a lot.
Yeah,
And so I think for men, women understand that, but men are like, sometimes they try to reconcile. Why would you like that?
Why would you enjoy it or anything of that sort, right?
Right, absolutely. So, I always like to put it out there. Guys, it does not mean if a woman fantasizes about that. And there's been different research on why that would be a popular fantasy among women. And one of the interesting areas of research is that women that are more likely to have these submission fantasies are also just as likely to have dominant fantasies.
You know what?
So, damn.
I was actually about to make the correlation.
Right.
I've come to learn the dominant person in the outside world, dominant, you know, they're the boss.
Right.
In their fantasy world,
exactly.
It's the complete opposite.
Yes.
They want to, right?
Yeah, like, let me relax. Like, you hear that a lot with people that do bondage, for instance. They always say a lot of, let's just say, ladies that do that, they, you know, work in, I don't know where they work, but they work in places where men will come and they want to get their ass beat.
Exactly. They get their freaky on and get beat, freaky. Right?
And you always hear that generally the men that do this tend to be very high status men, people who have a lot of responsibility, and they just go, I need to relax and have no power.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's interesting.
I like that idea. You said it's the theater of your mind.
Yeah.
Because I've had dreams where I thought they were real, but I knew the dream wasn't fake when it was Christina Milian inside my dream.
Right.
So, of course, I'm amped, excited in my dream.
Yeah.
And, like, say, when I go in to get a kiss, I wake up and I'm like, no, don't do this to me. But
yeah.
I can relate as it's a theater, as if you could do any type
right.
of script, write
right.
it up your perfect way and develop it, that's what you're dreaming of.
Exactly. And, you know, it's funny. Some research has found that men tend to fantasize more. Their frequency of fantasies are more for men, which didn't really surprise me that much.
Hold on 1 second.
Men tend to fantasize more than women.
Oh. I thought you were saying men tend to fantasize more about men. Hold on 1 second.
Like, I have to check your research.
Yeah.
But it's funny because also people in relationships have fantasies. And that's another area of study.
Now, that's interesting.
It is, because typically single people would have more fantasies, romantic, sexual, than people in committed relationships. The idea is that you're having more access to sex, more access to romance. So you wouldn't be needing to escape into fantasia. But within relationships, there's this really interesting area. It's this area called mental infidelity. If you consider fantasies natural, which I do,
I agree.
I don't consider it unnatural or problematic if my husband has fantasies.
Let me ask you this, since we're on the subject.
Right.
Would you consider it some type of cheating if your husband had a fantasy about somebody else?
Some people would, and I might have back in the day, but just kind of coming at this from more of an academic or a researcher, it's really a psychological mechanism, if you will. And when you look at it like that, it becomes problematic if you are a relationship. Trini boy!
Oh, yeah, my boy Trini boy in building, man.
I know.
Shout out to him, man.
Yeah.
Always showing love.
Always showing love. Thank you. But it becomes problematic if the idea is that if you are, let's just say you're in a committed relationship,
right,
and you have to fantasize about another woman during the whole time you are, like, getting it on with your lady,
then you shouldn't be in that relationship.
Right. So there's limits. And that's what's interesting about fantasies.
That makes sense.
And it's so cool because as a person, you can think of your fantasies as communications with your, like, deepest self, with your subconscious self. So if you are having a theme, and I know I've gone through phases where I have a specific theme of a fantasy.
Right.
It could be romantic. It could be sexual. So pay attention to what that theme is.
You mind sharing that with our audience? What type of theme?
Well, like, let's just say an example is that I used to, you know, be like a little, when I was single, and daydream about the type of guy that I would love to meet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have this very, like, romantic version of the type of man that you would like to meet and the things you would go out and do. This is kind of very PG-13. It's very
girls. Right, exactly.
Girls, you're like,
this is a right inside the journal on a Friday night.
But the type of guy that would make you really happy and make you really excited. And so you can think about those traits if you're a woman or a man. Because those traits can help you understand what you might be interested in, what would be really exciting to you.
And that's interesting, too, just because what if you fantasize about, I don't know, this type of lifestyle or this type of thing, but in real life, you're always fighting that, as in like, oh, no, I'm not that type of person.
Right.
That's not me. But knowing deep down, you kind of really want to be that person. It's kind of like, so me, myself, I grew up in the church. I don't know if anybody else as well. I was in the church. I was in the choir. I did all that as well. And I remember even I did a program called True Love Waits, where you say, I'm going to wait until marriage to actually have sex. Did that go down like that? No. But I learned that within my dreams, within my fantasies, I somewhat believed I was the person that I am today. So I still did become the person that I am. But at the time, I was a whole different person. So I guess my point that I'm trying to make is, how Do you believe the fantasy 100% true? Like, is it something that's actually capable of becoming true, or is this just a dream?
Oh, are you saying that in your fantasies back in the day, mm-hmm. you would kind of visualize the future you?
Yes.
That's great. That's visualization, which people, that's like a very common thing in our society now. People always talk about visualization as being a really powerful tool for success, right? And getting a real sense of structuring what you want your future to be like. So in that case, I think it's great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, cool. It's funny. I just... we have a helper, or rather, we have a newcomer, J.R. Shah.
Yes, shout out to you, man. Thank you for joining us.
And I think she was mentioning that emotional, like the fantasies is kind of emotional infidelity. So it's different where you are, because it's really personal. To some people, they're like,
it is, yeah.
And I think, it goes back to what is the nature of your relationship, like how steady it is. And some research found that people that are in long-term relationships, the longer the time goes on, the more there is likely to have that kind of romantic and sexual fantasy about other people.
Wow.
It's hard. I can't even believe I'm saying this stuff, because back in the day, I would have been like, no, you're not going to think about, you know, I would hope a guy wouldn't think about anyone but me. But I think that that's unrealistic when you kind of look at it.
Well, Constance, let me ask you, you're married, of course.
Yeah.
How long have you guys been married for?
11 years.
11 years. Yeah. Okay. So one night, if you were to have a fantasy about somebody else, would you wake up and tell your husband, like, hey, this is what I dreamt of last night? Like, are you guys at that comfortable spot there?
It's so funny that you should say that, because it just
happened, huh?
I randomly like told him about something.
Okay.
And I would, in the past, just, that wouldn't be my nature. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I would think that it has to be like kept secret, or it's something shameful or bad. It's like, I'm a married ass woman who had a dream.
Why am I dreaming of somebody else?
Right. But it wasn't actually, it was funny. It was not unlike him. I think it could be problematic if, let's just say, you're going out with me and you're dreaming of like a blonde girl or something. Like, if you're dreaming
like
about
someone completely polar opposite.
Exactly. Different body, different nature about them. But like, for instance, my husband has always thought like Raquel Welch, pictures of her back in the day, are like fine, or like Sofia Vergara. We're mm-hmm. in the same arena. Believe me, I'm not saying I'm as hot as either of those women, but they're both like Hispanic brunettes. All right, I'll take it, you know? So I think it'd be weird if he was like, yeah, I really think that Chris Brinkley or just some like real blonde chick, you know what I mean?
So
tall and skinny or something.
If he woke up and shared a dream with you involving Sophia or somebody, how would you react?
I wouldn't be really bothered, because again, I just think of it differently. I just as a natural psychological thing. If it was some guy, you know, again, I and we've been together for a long time, so we have that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's dope. Okay.
I mean, what do you think?
I think it all comes with time. I mean, you guys have time. 11 years married, I'm sure you guys were together beforehand. So with that said, mm-hmm. you guys have a tight best friend type bond. This is just me thinking off the top.
Yeah.
So with that said, I would be willing to share with my wife, like, yo, I dreamt this last night. Isn't that crazy? That's how I would be. I would hope my wife wouldn't take it as, is there something wrong with me? Why is he not dreaming about me like that? Just because it's natural. Fantasy.
Yeah, and it's also how you position it, no pun intended.
Right.
It's like, oh my God, and she had this like sexy ass, not as fine as yours, and like smack her on the butt.
Exactly.
And
then, yes.
Right, because my husband.
Presentation is key.
Right,
okay.
That's key. And not like you're. Aw, thank you.
Trini boy, smooth. Okay, you've been taking notes, huh?
Oh, wow. He's giving me my birthday present early. That's sweet. He was saying he thinks I was just as great as Raquel Welch as Sofia Vergara. That's very sweet. It's about that. And it was really funny, because just the thing I told him about, my dream, he was really cool about it. He's like, wow, that's great. Because here's another thing, back into the research.
Okay.
Individuals that share a lot and that have a high level of what they call sexual disclosure tend to have more satisfied romantic relationships and sexual relationships.
So.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
so if you really have something, you know, again, presentation, and I think for women it would be maybe potentially hotter to share their fantasy with their guy.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I think the stuff of a male fantasy might be a little like for women, unless, again, you position it a certain way.
Presentation is key. It's all about how you present it.
Then there was this one over there and that one over there.
But they have nothing on you, though, right? Okay? They got nothing on you.
Girls' fantasies are like, so he brought me this rose and we're at a puppy cloud and we're kissing and you're like, yeah, I'm not that.
Yeah, about that. I just dreamt about three girls. Nah, I'm playing that. But dope, and I'm glad we are actually on the conversation of, you know, relationships and sex, because next week we have something big on the show. We've got a special guest. Why don't you
let the people know next week? I hope everyone joins us. We have Kimberly. She's actually a sex therapist, Kimberly Resnick Anderson. She's amazing. She has like 25 years, a big background in clinical studies, being a professor. She was actually the on-air expert for TLC's True Sex. So she's going to be talking to us a lot about something that I think is so fascinating. It's called your sexual script. Apparently, it is formed very early in life.
Yeah.
And she's going to come and talk to us about it. So how you can understand your sexual script, you can rewrite it, you can edit it. We are very malleable, particularly as sexual creatures. And a lot of times things that maybe are things are embedded at certain critical times that you can undo if you want, or you can revise. So it's never too late to really own your sexuality.
I'm excited because I'm not going to lie to you guys. I've been told I've got some doggish ways, but I'm trying to change my ways for the good. So those at home, if you have any questions about SEX, make sure you comment them so we can be sure to ask them when the sex expert comes, and make sure to join us next week, of course, because that will be an exciting episode.
And I just wanted to add that we're also going to have a holistic nutritionist, and one of her areas is finding really great foods and supplements you can take to increase your libido. Guys, girls.
Skirt, what's libido?
Oh, like your sexual appetite.
Oh, okay.
Like your desire.
That sex drive.
The sex drive, because apparently there's things that can really sap it and help you, things that might be hindering you in that area, in the bedroom, or things that if you want to superpower your libido.
Okay.
So just fun tips, and I'm really excited for her to join us.
So make sure you guys tune in next week on that, all right?
But definitely, just the parting note on that, like paying attention to your sexual and romantic fantasies, they're not anything to be ashamed of, and you can really find certain themes that are like basically telling you something about what you're desiring at this point, whether it's the type of woman that you're desiring, whether it's something sexual that you want to try.
Yeah.
And if you are in a relationship, there's no reason not to share that and enjoy that, because sex is part of our life.
And that's why I think it's so important to open up the dialogue, just to actually have the conversation, because like with my background,
I
grew up with stay away from sex, money, and drugs. You know, those are the bad things of life.
Right.
It's the temptation of life, whatever the case. So I never had a chance to actually had open conversation just about sex in itself, besides inside health class where they tell you to don't have sex at all, you know. So
it's always important
to just get research on.
Yeah, and not only that, I think we live in a culture that is highly sexualized these days. I mean,
highly
sexualized.
And it's advertised much more.
Yeah.
I mean, especially on TV, movies. Now it's on your phone. I mean, there's so much stuff.
So much stuff, and I don't know how many people are actually making love or really enjoying sex. This is just my opinion.
This isn't research.
Like, there's sex everywhere, but I don't know how much joie de vivre or like joy or real like individualism there is about sex. So instead of like having your sexuality formed by external things, which sometimes can be kind of gnarly and not you, is really understanding what makes you happy. What is sensuality to you? Because it's very different for us, and you know,
especially if you grow up in this generation where you're being raised by the television or films, and you think sex or love is supposed to look like this, it's supposed to act like this, and then you actually do it and it's like, wait, that's not what I thought it was supposed to go. So then that's where research always comes into handy.
You keep trying to cram this vision into your life, and it's not necessarily one that works for you. Like growing up, I always looked at women's magazines that said like, oh, the third date is like when it's socially acceptable have sex with a guy. And for me, that was just like, no way, Jose.
But then who says that too? That's what I'm saying.
Like that was just like, that's like sleeping with a stranger. I'm not going to do that. And then there sets up this expectation that guys have an expectation that if we go out three times, it's reasonable to expect that might be going down. I've run into that, oddly enough, of guys getting aggro. I was probably dating the wrong guys, but getting aggro, wanting things quickly. And again, modern woman, but it just wasn't my nature. I wasn't going to be inspired to want to sleep with a stranger, because that's what you are to me. Right. At three dates, you're a stranger. So anyway, like I said, determining it for yourself and not having it so influenced by societal constraints.
Boom. So yes, next week, make sure you stay tuned.
Yeah. In the chat, we have some interesting, some men talking about that it's very difficult sometimes to be forthright and to share your honest feelings or your ideas about things. And as men, you're just, that comes down to socialization.
Yes.
They're not necessarily, and we're actually going to talk about this. We're going to talk about,
you know what, one of my favorite R&B
especially
artists,
as black men,
Music Soul Child, he's got a song called Teach Me How to Love. And within the lyrics, he says, I was taught the true definition of a man was to never cry and work till you're tired.
Wow.
And to provide. And that was like within the first stanza of like the song.
Dang.
So I can relate to it, because as I came up, I was always told, hey, work, provide,
right,
keep your emotions to the side, you
right
know? So especially as I continue to grow, you know, right, I'm starting to learn the ways that I came up, they're not actually right. I just have to explore the other areas that I never did actually explore.
Right. Or they might be very good, but tempered with other things as well. Like the idea of being stoic or holding your emotions. That's not a bad thing, to be morally disciplined or emotionally disciplined, mm-hmm, but it can't be that you can't stuff things under the carpet. You
just
have to
be
able
to. Just because in the long run, right, it ultimately just hurts you.
Right, absolutely. It really does. I was raised very much with that. And actually, I was curious what you thought. They were saying, especially as black men, you're taught to be very strong. The rest is not in front of me, so I'm not quoting exactly. And
it
to
is
not
true,
show
though,
weakness.
Yes, guys, that is a great song. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
But do you think that that's accurate?
Definitely, especially being a black man, mm-hmm, growing up in America. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going through now. I know we're about to get into pop culture soon, but
yeah,
actually, Colin Kaepernick is going through something with the NFL where he stood up for what he believed in.
Mm-hmm.
And due to that, now teams don't want to sign him, even though he is a great quarterback. They don't want to put them on the team because of his political views.
Wow.
Which is crazy in 2017 that you can have this much talent, but you say this and you're a certain skin color, you lose everything that you worked for.
Yeah, perceptions are very
so
strong.
Just being a black man in America, Jay-Z said it best, man. I just went blank, but I usually have a great Jay-Z quote that go into. But and speaking of pop culture, we will switch it up from Jay-Z to our man Sean Diddy Combs out here in these streets. One thing I respect about this man, you know, growing up, Constance, I'm a huge hip-hop kid. Mm. I used to sit by the radio as a child and wait for Biggie songs to come on, and I always watch Diddy work, and he just earned $130 million in the past 12 months. He actually edged out Beyonce for the top spot on Forbes' list of 2017's highest paid entrepreneurs. Forbes credits his Bad Boy reunion tour, a partnership with Diago Ciroc Vodka, which if you haven't seen any type of project that Diddy does, he's always talking about Ciroc, promoting it. He's always working. And selling one-third of his Sean John clothing line, which I remember growing up, I used to always want Sean John. I need Sean John, but this exactly makes sense. He actually sold, after doing research, he sold, I believe, 30% of the company at an estimated $70 million, which was one of the biggest reasons why he earned over $130 million in the past year, which awarded him the highest paid entertainer of 2017.
Is that amazing? saying after all these years?
Inspiring.
Yeah, it really is. And it was funny because when I was like, who? I mean, I knew who he is, but I was like 2017. I was thinking it would be like Beyonce or something like that.
Right, right.
Right, in the Bad Boy reunion tour that Trini Boy mentioned.
Which was dope too, as well.
Huge. Yep. And also, Trini Boy, because you asked, we did talk about love languages a couple episodes back, but we're going to hit that again because it's such an interesting, remember we were talking about love languages.
Of course,
finding
of
out
course.
What means love to the person you're with, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So yes, I thought that was fascinating. And let's talk about it. He's been famous since the
90s,
right?
Since the 90s.
So you were diapers talking, back.
Yes, when he came out, I was like, goo goo a gaga. But
you're rattle, you're like.
He's been doing it for 3 decades.
Right.
His story in itself, he started as Andre Harrell's assistant back in the 90s. Andre Harrell is this huge music producer, I believe. CEO. He ended up getting fired from that situation and he started up his own company called Bad Boy, which now, as you see now, it became one of the first brands to not only be a music label but get into clothing, liquor, TV and film.
Right.
Diddy's a true example of an entrepreneur. I've actually written about him in my blog, beyourowndad.blogspot.com, that he actually listened to this, Constance. I know you'll love this. He began his own curriculum for a school he started in Harlem.
Oh, that's awesome.
He opened up his own school.
I think I heard that. Good for him.
Yes.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
And
I love that.
This man is making moves. The school opened up this year.
Good for him.
I remember. And I remember watching him, you know, clipping the ticket with the big ass scissors and stuff.
Right.
And it's dope because he was very hands on with mm-hmm. what these kids are going to actually learn, what they
need to
learn to go into the actual world. Mm-hmm. Because I was taught a whole bunch of BS in school that I can't use in everyday life now.
Right.
So what he did was say, we gonna leave that out. We gonna give them what they need to know to empower the next generation. So, big congratulations to Sean, Diddy, Puff Daddy. You got so many names, man, and just keep the grind up, man. Inspiring,
absolutely.
Motivation. I mean, especially as a black man coming up, it gives me hope too.
And his mother predominantly raised him, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yep, that's right too. Raised by a single mother. Father wasn't in the picture, I believe. And you see where he's at now.
Absolutely. And there's some good lessons if you look at him. Obviously, he has to lead a very high profile life and doing flashy stuff.
I follow him on Snapchat. His Snapchat's lit.
Is it?
Yeah.
But, you know, there's something underneath that because, you know, you only see the glamour, right? But you mm-hmm. don't get to stay on top like that for that many decades.
Without putting in actual work.
Yeah, many unglamorous hours. And just looking at his success, I mean, I think that some things that we could take away is the idea he was always innovating.
Definitely.
So it's like the best companies in the world are always innovating. They're never thinking, oh, great, I've got like a few different artists and their albums are doing really well. He's thinking 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years down the road. And he also is, like you were mentioning, doing different income streams.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And then Jay-Z said, here we go. The key to life is keep the bag coming. So what Diddy was able to always do is keep up with the times. I remember when...
Yeah.
Reality TV was just starting to get big. I remember he did his own reality TV called Making
the
Band.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So then he's always kept up with the time, what's new. I know he launched his own TV channel network, Revolt TV. It's got one of the biggest radio programs on there, The Breakfast Club. It's got one of the biggest podcast on there.
I didn't know that.
Drink Champs. I mean, I watch this man's moves because one day I want to do the similar moves that he's actually doing.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And you notice the income streams too. It was interesting because
multiple.
Right, and they're the type of income streams that he could basically take off and go live in Marrakesh for a year.
Oh. And he just made $130 million this past year.
Right, the money would still come in.
He could take off a decade and still be good.
Exactly. So it's the idea of like money when you sleep, right?
Because yes.
We had this great entrepreneur from Shark Tank on, and he was talking about the different levels of income. He goes, all right, you could be a salary person. You have to show up. You get a certain amount of money. You pay your bills. That's great. Mm-hmm. Then you can move into entrepreneurship. But you still have to be there to run the business. If you go on vacation or whatever, the money's really not coming in. And then you go into the top tier, which obviously Sean Combs knows a lot about, where it's basically like just kind of a lot of passive income and a lot of different streams that you're pulling from.
Yes, so. Yes. Especially like example with the music industry. Music industry is hard, but what's one great thing about it is when you monetize your content, for example, say if the NBA Finals wants to play DJ Khaled's All I Do Is Win, Win, Win.
Right.
Before they do it, they got to get permission first and pay him. So that's money as you sleep.
Right.
They say, hey, you got a great record. We want to use this for our commercial. We'll pay you this. Is that cool? Yep, sure. Bam, boom.
Exactly.
You just made money as you're sleeping there. And that's the important. That's the importance of being able to create multiple streams of income without having to clock in.
Right. And the Ciroc vodka, it's really funny. But back in the day, I actually used to work. That was one of the brands I worked on.
Oh, okay.
Ciroc vodka is made out of grapes. It's actually a really good vodka.
Yes,
it is. But it was one of those vodkas that was getting lost in like hundreds of other vodkas that were coming out. Because, you know, a lot of people put vodkas out. There's great margins on vodka. It's like perfume and vodka. You will make amazing amounts of money if you have a hit on those. Because it costs like 2 cents to make and you can charge a lot. So having him, he's one of those people that they needed like him to be promoting all the time. And look at every time someone's pouring a drink, he's making money.
It's Ciroc. Every time he's on his Snapchat, Instagram, he's got the Ciroc. Now he's also doing DeLeon liquor. I mean, he's got multiple, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yes, big shout out to Diddy, man. You know, keep on grinding, keep on putting.
Yeah, it's definitely inspiring. And speaking of young entrepreneurs,
hey, exactly. Matter of fact, I remember a back in the day video of Diddy. What he did when he started Bad Boy, he used to throw big parties.
Did he?
And he used to tell everybody, he would walk on the beach and say, "Hey, I got this flyer." Boom, boom, boom.
Uh-huh.
So with that said, your boy Jimmy V, I'm trying to do my entrepreneurship thing too as well. So I've got to say, I am throwing my first BYOD event for my brand. It's called the Summer Jump Off. It is happening this Friday, June 16th, 2017. What I decided to do is I'm bringing everybody in the Hollywood industry together to create. And now I'm speaking to hosts, actors, dancers, influencers, rappers, everybody within here. I'm bringing them together at a great location, aka mansion, and we've got food, music, hookah, and a good time. So hey, that's what I'm talking about.
So it's
here
all-white party in the Hamptons.
But Diddy does throw a all-white party.
But what's yours going to be?
Mine's is a come dress to impress party.
In the Hollywood Hills.
Yes, with a bathing suit, because we do have a pool and a jacuzzi as well. So this Friday, June 16th, if you are in LA, come through. Hit me up on Instagram at @BeYourOwnDad. I can get you a ticket to make sure you get there this week, and it's going to be a great time. I'm excited.
So there, you should be. So there's a link from your website to where you could buy tickets.
That's right.
And I heard about, there was actually another show they were talking about this on.
Yes. Shout out to Hustle Rehab. Ooh, she is going to kill me
if
I get her name wrong.
I'll talk about it for a second.
Big shout out to Hustle Rehab Radio Show for showing love for the BYOD Jump Off. Shout out my girl Deja, who is actually helping me put on the event as well.
So the idea is that because I was trying to understand. So you guys are going to be doing like some filming. So people that do videos, people that do skits.
Yes.
This is a place that you can just wander around and do skits, and there'll be people that maybe could help you.
Yes.
Okay.
Because
grab somebody and just be like, dude. Okay.
And the main issue that I've had, especially being out in Hollywood for 2 years now, was being able to come within the same environment of like-minded people.
Right.
So if I want to do a skit or something, I don't know who to reach out to because I don't know anybody. Right. So what I did was cut out the middleman. Everybody's going to be here
awesome.
Doing this. If you like doing this, you want to be there.
Awesome. So, but can I also go and then just hang out? Let's just say I'm a person, not an entertainer.
Of course.
You could just hang out, have some drinks.
Come through, hang out. I've got some hookah for you. I got a pool, and it's going to be 93 degrees outside.
Oh, hey.
It's going to be hot out. It's going to be music. You want to be here. I'm excited. Just speaking about it now. And once again, it's my first event being out here in California. So I feel like it's like my introductory of who I am as a person, what I'm trying to build with my brand, Be Your Own Dad. And I'm excited. We are 48 hours away. Get your tickets now.
So if you are... what are you going to wear? Because remember Diddy always wears something specific at the white party, so everyone knows he's a host. Like, we knew it anyway,
yeah.
But you've got to shine. You've got to let your soul glow.
I was going to keep it a secret, but I can share it. So, the Tupac movie is also dropping the same day, June 16th. So, what I've decided to do was I actually just copped some new shoes. Of course, you know, I got to get my shoes. I got these Tupac socks.
Awesome.
That I'm going to have on, as well as I plan on getting the Tupac haircuts to the Tupac haircut from the movie Juice, which was like a line over here.
Oh.
Everybody's going to notice it. And then Tupac used to always wear these new dope clothes. So I actually plan on stepping out to get a dope Tupac shirt. So I'm just doing this in remembrance of Tupac because the movie All Eyes on Me is dropping this Friday. The LA screening is actually tonight, so I do know a few people there, so I'm sure I'll hear about that later on, but I'll be dressing in remembrance of Tupac.
Okay, and you know what? You could, this is just like unsolicited advice, style advice.
Okay.
It's good that you're doing an homage, but it's good for you to brand you too. Does that make sense?
True.
Right. So you don't
want to...
Very
true,
not really about somebody else as much as it's about you.
Yes.
Just a little marketing.
Very key, which all around the event, I'm actually passing out BYOD wristbands at the door. So merchandise will be there and, representing my brand, of course. So
cool. And I just wanted to mention Jay Arshad in the chat had asked about, since we were talking about love languages,
right,
if he had talked about sex languages, which I'm going to check that out, Jay Arshad. And you know what? It would stand to reason that they're just like with love languages, that there is somebody that... there's certain things that they value more important than others. Like, for instance, you might like getting stuff, but
I remember
the
conversation. Yeah.
Your girl actually really likes quality time. So
right.
It doesn't matter how much stuff you throw at her.
She just wants
QT.
Time.
Yeah, time, mm-hmm. QT. So I'm sure there's probably something with sex languages.
I bet,
like people that are into certain, you know, there's going to be typologies, like you're into one thing more, like some people really like emotionalism and they really like to be like held more and they really more like
just
affection.
Like the whole submissive compared to make love, you know, like
right
slower or however you describe making love, I don't know.
Yeah, and you know, it's like one of those things that it probably, I don't know if there would be a sex language just because it seems like people want different things at different times.
They do.
Yeah, so
that's
you might be
well.
In the mood for rough a little
right.
more
down and
dirty.
You might be on some nice and slow, it's 7 o'clock on the dot, I'm in my drop top, you know, put the song on and all that good stuff.
Right, so it's like, I guess it's called reading the room.
That's right,
it's
exactly.
It's the same idea of love languages, is like being tuned into what people want.
That's right.
Now, it's funny, all these themes tonight have a certain kind of commonality, because the next is a fascinating story about something called Warrior Week Camp. And if the link is available, I'd love to play the intro video to this cultural phenomenon.
I'm not sure. of the night that covers me. Black is the pit from pole to pole. I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul.
Okay, we can.
In the third clutch of circumstance.
Cut that there.
Thank you. I didn't know it went on that much longer. But this,
that's intense.
It's very intense. And obviously, that's not the camp, relaxing camp you want to go to.
No, this is the definitely turn up, represent, as you said, all the guys. I'm here for my wife and kids. They all sound determined.
Right. So it's Warrior Week camp. And it was started by a man named Garrett White, who gets 20,000 applications, he says, for just 12 spots of this warrior camp.
20,000?
Yeah, 20,000. It's a huge cultural phenomenon. And I've been really interested in it because basically his perspective is that this is a place that you can revive your primal nature. It's a very intense camp. Some of the things you do is you have fist fights.
Like actual physical, like, I'm going to beat the shit out you.
Right. And then you had something, they just showed it in the video really quickly, but it was something called, I think it's called sand cookies, and that could be from SEAL training, where you basically, in the middle of the night, you're woken up, you're thrown into the water.
Yeah.
And then you have to like twirl around in the sand.
I've
and
seen like videos of this.
Right. So you do variants of these types of things. And Garrett White is very interesting because he, this is a quote, he goes, "There is a primal nature in men that has been completely castrated." Another quote, "Also, there's a primal nature inside men that has been sedated. Between the way that boys have been raised, like me, raised by my mother, and the way that churches and society and government have taught men that it is not okay." And this is just a fascinating area because I remember a book that came out back in the day that said The War on Boys. And the premise was not dissimilar to this. The idea that men, much of their nature is being basically, you know, snuffed out of existence. And basically there's this kind of idea of creating men that are almost like feminizing them in a way. And I think it's interesting because I think when people go, oh, primal or like traditional masculinity, you can think of something very negative about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's also very wonderful things. Like you mentioned earlier that like in your church, they told you to like work hard, mm-hmm. like take care of people. Those are like beautiful traits to embody, to give somebody. Mm-hmm.
Definitely is. But at the same time, if you are hanging around this, the wrong people, you get taken advantage of those traits, especially.
That's interesting.
And I've just learned from my own experience, because I always come from that background. I'm loving, I'm caring. I always want to give a helping hand out. But there's people out in this world who know, oh, that's the nice person. That's the nice one. So I'm going to get everything that I can get out of this person and then keep on moving, you know?
Yeah. That's not, I'm just mentioning my husband. He was raised very much in the church as well. Very, very strong, like heavy, heavy duty. And the good thing about that is he is not dissimilar to you in that it's very positive things that were given, especially the way that he deals with people. Like you had to go out and talk to people about God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So you have an ease talking to just about anybody, right?
Yeah.
That's a great thing that was given to you. And I think that there's probably things about you, like values, that no one could ever snuff out.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no matter how much money is thrown in front of me, anything of that sort. And I think growing up with core values, it helps you understand who you are as a person.
Right. Because you'll never kind of betray them.
There's never certain switch things. Up.
Exactly.
No.
And so I think, you know, going back to this, there is something which I think of as the positive primal nature of men, which I think is, again, this idea of being strong. Not that you have to be this robot and you're never allowed to show emotion, but there being a balance between your nature as a man. I'm a woman. I don't know what it feels like to be a man. Do you know what I mean? But I can say that there are certain things that are primal to being a woman that I almost do instinctively. For instance, like when I'm around children, I got the opportunity to be around them quite a bit, and something almost instinctive, it was very easy for me. I hadn't been around kids a lot, so I don't know where that came from. I would assume that came from something within me as a woman. There's certain things where I want to take care of my husband.
I
make sure that he emotionally feels good, and I always want to make a nice home for him. That's something that I think is a primal female trait, you know, and that's a nice thing, you know?
That is, yeah, because you know? at the end of the day, especially coming from a man's perspective, when it comes to being around a woman, women are caring, women are Women bring the love into the household, if that makes sense.
Right.
A woman can make a house a home.
Absolutely.
In a way.
Yeah.
So that's what you would want from a woman in any situation when it comes to, you know, being around kids or family nature of that sort.
Right. And I think that there's great, I think we live in a good time in the sense that there's freedom that might not be for everyone. You know, you don't have to be that kind of, have those traits. But there's something that I think about Warrior Week Camp and why it's so popular is that there's been an imbalance with men. And again, I'm a woman saying this. This is just something I've observed, that there is an imbalance. Like men, often many of their positive primal traits are basically, they're made to seem ashamed. You have to be ashamed of that. Or that, you know, that thing that
What's
you
an
feel.
Example? Can
See,
you think of one?
For once, one of the ideas is that, let's just say, not a certain strength of a man. Like, I'm a man and I feel like I want to, let's just say, protect my lady.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's my nature to want to open the door. I'm just using really basic examples.
Okay.
It's my nature to want to protect my lady, open the door, be a caretaker.
Right.
Again, traits that I think are amazing
are great,
and
yeah.
has served civilization really well. But then there could be somebody who's just like, why are you opening a door for me? I'm just
That's
being
right.
extreme. Why
exactly.
You don't think I can pay for myself? It's like,
yeah.
you don't have to protect me. I can take care of myself. You
yeah.
know what I mean? We're equals. And, you know, it's like this kind of, you know what I'm saying? It's an imbalance. And I think that there's this Warrior Week, but there's also things that I see out in the world, like dress and grooming with men. You see the big beards, the kind of lumberjack look, the heavy tattooing. It's kind of like taking these signifiers of traditional masculinity and co-opting them because maybe you don't feel them inside, if that makes sense.
That's interesting. That's an interesting way to look at it. I've got tattoos myself. I've never felt the tattoos make me more of a man or make me any type of tough guy or anything of that sort. I've always thought it was an expression.
Absolutely. And that's not always, like with the tattooing, I use it in the sense of maybe perhaps heavy duty. And when you don't feel, let's just say, and this is just the example of a person who has perhaps had their kind of natural masculinity like twisted or thwarted or taught to be ashamed of things about themselves as a man. And, perhaps has adopted, like, you know, a heavy beard, big lumberjack look.
Right,
lots
right, right.
Of tattoos
they,
on the
they
arms.
They adopt all these other things to replace what they're missing, really.
Exactly. It's just something I observe, and I see this kind of imbalance with
I
different areas.
I see it, too. I see it,
I talk
too,
about,
yeah.
I, you know, and on women, we have our own arenas. I think there's certain parts of traditional femininity that have been discouraged. Like, I know that I was kind of more of a radical back in the day, and that I was just like, oh no, I went through a spell where I'm like, oh man, I can't let a guy pay for me. I can't, like, you know, in that
Miss Independent,
right,
I-N-D-E-P.
But kind of ridiculous, you know
right,
what I mean? Like,
right.
And obviously, I'm not that, but I have found that I was that at some point.
Right.
But where you're like, you're trying to, in a sense, not let a guy be a guy. Because I think a lot of people immediately, when they think of some negative, you know, they think of violence. Or
they
think
do,
of
yeah.
women being harmed by that. And there's actually really great things like this Warrior Week Camp. It's for basically guys that have a certain level of dissatisfaction. And this is actually for people who are very successful. So the idea is that people are really successful, maybe married, they have it all from the outside look, but they're very dissatisfied.
Yeah. I believe it's those type of people where you think everything is good on the outside.
Right.
And then say if they get a new girlfriend or something, the girlfriend's like, he's not the person that I thought he would be. Like, on the outside, he seems as this tough guy, but on the inside, he's a big teddy bear, you know, and
yeah, or just people, they're dissatisfied. Does that make sense? Like, they're people that have it all, but
yeah,
they're actually,
we see this all the time, especially out here in Hollywood. They got all this money, the biggest house, all these cars, but nobody to share it with, you know, and it's really, they replaced, I need to get this for the family that they never had,
right,
or the equal partnership with someone that they never had, but they replaced that with, I need to get this amount of money and I'll feel fine once I get it. then they get it, and right. it's like, I still got the same feeling, so that wasn't it.
Right, and it's basically like this endless kind of pit, which I yeah. think, so I think it's fascinating. Obviously, life. It's for guys.
Life isn't easy.
You know, this idea that many men have been sedated, so, mm-hmm. and he even talks about it, he's kind of funny, he has these videos where he talks about, like, you're trying to get your excitement on, so you're like, you have it all, but then you're like going to like strip clubs, or you're watching a lot of porn, but you feel dead inside, mm-hmm. and so this is an idea to kind of revive your primal nature, so.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it's, and of course we do have, I think it was Trinity Boy, someone had mentioned a great little saying from the Bible, bad associations spoil useful habits. It's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. But yeah, gender roles are a reverse. That's what one of our guests mentioned, that there is a lot of confusion. And I think, again, also with what Garrett White talks about and what you talk about with Be Your Own Dad,
mm-hmm.
like not having a father there.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't mean, you know, mothers can knock it out of the park both barrels. You know what I mean? You could have great uncles and stuff, but I think it always leaves you wondering maybe like what if?
Yeah. Did I miss out on something?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, big shout out to Warrior Week. I'm going to actually do some additional research on that because I am somewhat interested.
Yeah.
Would I do something like this? Probably not 25-year-old Jimmy. Nah.
No, I think I
can see maybe 40-year-old Jimmy.
Right.
I gotta say, hey, I can still hang with the young guys, and I can, you know, bang this out or something. But yeah, definitely interesting there.
Yeah, and J.R. Shad, really interesting point. But he was talking about working out and if he was doing it more to fit societal expectations. Mm-hmm. But now he's doing it more for himself. It helps. Working out is more rewarding. And then after coming out as bi, it made me feel more comfortable as a man in my own skin. So good. Just doing
there
it.
You go,
going sir. Back to that. You know, I think this is the theme of what we've been talking about, whether it's sex, whether it's like your identity, whether it's the way you relate to women or men. It's the idea of there's always these external influences, but then the idea of going to back to naturally who you are and finding that balance within. And I really hope men can do that, because I, like I said, I feel that men in a way have been shamed and certain aspects
we have.
Of nature.
It's time to get back to our normal ways.
Do you think that? I mean, this is my like speculation as an outsider, as a woman. I mean, do you think any of that?
Like I said, coming up, the song, like I mentioned earlier, Teach Me How to Love, that song hits me deep. I want you to go home and actually listen to it, just because music Soul Child speaks about many topics that, you know, that were just never addressed as a young man growing up in this world, because
right.
I was told I'm supposed to be this way,
right.
this way, this way,
yeah.
and I missed out on every other thing. So,
and turn the other cheek too.
How
they tell
right.
you that's not unrealistic. You know what I mean? To have people like be disrespectful to you, and you're somehow gonna, you know, there's other ways that you have to process. Because, like I said, my husband grew up in the church, and he felt not dissimilar to you that he would be taken advantage of.
Yeah.
And he's like, we just grew up in this community where we helped each other out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
when his father passed away, the many people in the church came and they helped, like. Guys would help around the house, you know what I mean?
Many.
They would take him to sports.
Many.
And so his idea is you always help somebody. If somebody asked you for help, but then people would keep asking.
And then they take advantage of you. I know,
like,
exactly
yeah,
how it goes.
Remember that candy bar you gave me a NAM? Well, I need a ride to Canada.
you remember that candy bar in 91? Yeah, well, I need a ride. So as we actually close out this great episode here, this was actually a great episode.
It was great.
This is a song that I mention music Soul Child, Teach Me How to Love. Beautiful song. You can learn a lot from it there. But next week's episode, make sure you tune in, because we've got sex therapist Kimberly Resnick coming through to break down about sex and all the good stuff.
Yeah.
So make sure you leave your comments on what you would like for us to talk about and any questions you do have. In the meantime, I've been your boy Jimmy V. If you go to my Instagram, stay up to date on my event this weekend, because it will be lit. And my story, you just might see a few things there as well. So that's at Be Your Own Dad, Twitter and Instagram. Of course, my blog, beyourowndad.blogspot.com.
Yeah, absolutely. Huh? My name is Constance Dead. Of course, you always can find me at Twitter or Instagram.
And expressing my... Oh, man, you gonna get me in my feelings. Catch you guys next week.
Wanna love you better, show me how. I'm trying desperately, baby, please work on me.
Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio. Instagram me, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.